Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And as promised, he is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at indeed.com/credit. Also, check out Ross's daily betting podcast, Bet Sweats, live every weekday from 9 till 11 right here in Memphis on radio.com. He joins us now. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Ross, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, of course, fellas. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, so you said that if you were president, Monday Night Football would start at 7 o'clock every single week. I'm going to ask you this. You're elected president, and one of your first items of business is fixing the NFL to the extent that it needs to be fixed. Where do you start with Thursday Night Football? Because I really think this is something, this is an area where we can improve it. How would you do it?
I don't have any problem with Thursday Night Football. I'm a big fan of Thursday Night Football, and it bothers me when people complain about Thursday Night Football. So I think we might go head-to-head here.
Wow.
What are your suggestions?
So here's my thing. The matchups have been abysmal. They have just been bad. And it feels like, and I know the NFL can't predict exactly. Tonight, it's not good. Last week, it was not good. Most of the games on Thursday Night Football this year have not been good. So I'm just, you know, if we're going to do it, let's invest in the product so where it doesn't feel like we're getting a sort of C game here. I mean, why do I care about Panthers-Falcons?
Well, I mean, if you don't, then don't watch the game. I mean, I guess my point would be this. Let's look at it for this weekend, right? Monday night is always going to be a priority.
Yep.
Sunday night is always going to be a priority. The Sunday late afternoon window game, the 4:25 p.m. game, is always going to be a priority. And they also don't want to, you know, take away every good game from the 1 o'clock slate.
Right.
So I guess what they could have done is they could have put Pittsburgh and Baltimore tonight. You know, that's the option. But the point is when you look at it, there aren't that many games each week that you say, ooh, that should be the one. I mean, they got the Bucks, you know, Tom Brady on Monday night. That's always good. Sunday night, Cowboys, Eagles, they thought would be good, but that's 2-5 against 2-4-1. The Sunday late afternoon game, I don't even know which one they're saying is the featured one, whether it's Niners, Seahawks, or Saints, Bears. I think both of those are pretty good. I think that they've got a lot of mouths to feed, right? Like, they're trying to keep CBS happy, NBC happy, ESPN happy, Fox happy. And I think the counter argument to what you're saying is that when there's a standalone game in the NFL, a lot of people watch it no matter what's on.
Right.
No matter what, you know, no matter who's playing. And so I actually like when they have different teams' games on. Like, I haven't watched a ton of Carolina this year. I'm kind of excited. Matt Rhule, Teddy Bridgewater. This will be like my first Carolina deep dive tonight. So I'm looking forward to it, but then again, I love football, and you guys are just getting ready for Memphis College hoops, so what can I say?
Well, they got a big one first in football. Memphis football's got number 7 Cincinnati on Saturday. We're looking forward to that one,
too. That's going to be an awesome game.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome game. Cincinnati is legit.
No doubt.
That will be – by the way, you got to explain this to me. How has Memphis recruited and had 4 running backs in the last 3 years – that are all fourth-round picks or better? I mean,
it's remarkable.
Henderson, Pollard, Gibson, now Gainwell, who's not even playing. I mean, it's unbelievable how they've become an NFL running back factory.
Oh, they're putting something together, and it looks like they can keep it going for a while. I'll ask you this, Ross, because you've been in those locker rooms. It doesn't look like Andy Dalton's going to be able to play this week on Sunday night, I think it is, against Philly. But when you come back, but the plan is for him, obviously, going forward with Dak out, he's going to be the quarterback again. Just as a locker room guy, as a leader, how do you feel about those guys when they didn't come to your aid at a time where everybody that's played football is saying, man, at least one guy should have stood up and fought for you after that hit from Bostic? How are you? I realize, Ross, it's a business. Everybody's there to get a check, right? You're going to go about and do your work. But how are you feeling about the rest of the guys in the locker room if you're Andy Dalton?
You know, I don't think he's even thinking about that. And that's not like a cop-out or a cliche. It's really not. I mean, I didn't like study the tape like the Zapruder film, but I certainly saw a couple of offensive linemen come right for Andy. I mean, there were a couple of guys that came right to Andy, and then they tried to help him up, and they saw that he was in bad shape, and they called for the medical folks. I think people wanted them to go after John Bostic. I don't know, as a guy that played offensive line, I'd like to think that I would have. The two things I would tell you, though, are that things happen really, really fast, like much faster when you're actually inside the white lines than when you're watching on TV, number one. And number two, you know, it happened so fast. Your concern is Andy. You see the flags come in. You know the guy's getting penalized. I guess I just don't know. I mean, you can go over there and say, hey, that was BS, Bostic. Why did you do that? But ultimately, it doesn't really help your team if you go over there and then give him a shot. Now, part of me thinks I would have anyway, just knowing my background. Yeah. But the other thing is they got a lot of, like, I mean, think about it. They don't have any veterans on the offensive line. I mean, it was the right tackle's undrafted rookie, the right guard, second-year guy making his first start.
Yep.
The center's a rookie. Like, these are guys that are just
– that's true.
To be honest with you, those guys are trying to knock out their you-know-what's kicked. You know what I mean? Like, the last thing that they were thinking about is, oh, I need to go defend this quarterback. Like, they were getting destroyed in that game. I think those guys were just
like –
I think they were worried about not getting embarrassed themselves as much as going to defend the honor of a quarterback that they barely even know.
I'll buy that.
Sounds like Philly and Carson Wentz are going to get Jalen Reagor back, and they sound excited about it just because he brings a certain amount of explosiveness to that offense. I've gone back and forth on Carson this year, like just when I feel like he's taking a step back, like he's, you know, he's willing his team to victory, you know, despite everybody around him being, you know, banged up. What do you sort of think personally about Carson Wentz, and is it as simple as just getting people around him healthy for him to be a, you know, a franchise quarterback?
Well, so, you know, I live near Philadelphia. I do the Eagles preseason TV. I do their pregame. I'll actually be in the booth Sunday night against the Cowboys on Westwood One, so you guys will be able to listen to me down there calling the game. And it's been a really interesting year for Wentz. And the thing I would say is he has not played great overall, but he has absolutely shown that he plays his best at the end of the games when it matters the most. So what he's proven without a shadow of a doubt this year is he's tough. He's gutsy. I mean, he's taken some shots and gone on some runs that you're like, what are you doing? But he's selling out to try to win the game. And his best throws have been at the end of these games. The touchdown pass to Fulgham against the Niners, you know, everything he did against at the end of the game against the Ravens and Steelers, certainly the pass to Hightower and to Boston Scott against the Giants last Thursday night. Even the game they tied against the Bengals, the pass to Zach Ertz, he's been very clutch. So the way I describe him is I think he tries to do too much at times. I think his accuracy is a little inconsistent, and his decision-making has been disappointing at times, but I'd still rather have him than about half the quarterbacks in the league, just based on everything I know about him. I would take him over half the other dudes right now.
You know, since the Bucs lost to the Bears, they outscored the Packers and Raiders 83-30. Tom, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and maybe the key stat for them, you know, that defense has come around, it's playing well, but they haven't allowed Tom to be sacked. I think it was 3 times versus the Bears. It's been 0 times in the last 2 games. When you add Antonio Brown to that, are they about to go on a run, you think, Ross? Are they going to end up the best thing in the NFC and probably in the Super Bowl? What do you think?
Well, I thought that before they signed Antonio Brown.
Okay.
And I'm not as bullish on the Antonio Brown signing as I think a lot of other people are. I mean, the guy has just done so many weird things over the last 18 months or so that I don't know how you can't be a little bit skeptical of bringing him into that locker. I mean, they just scored 45 points against the Raiders without him, and Mike Evans only had 2 targets.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me feels like they already are having trouble, you know, feeding all the mouths that they have there in Tampa. And now you're going to add Antonio Brown to it. Like, he's not going to be happy not getting the ball. All of his incentives are all tied to how many catches and stuff he has. Godwin wants it. Gronk is playing well. They've got several. I mean, they just got a lot of mouths to feed, and I don't know if many quarterbacks could pull it off. I think Brady might. But to your point, I think the Bucs, I do power rankings every Tuesday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I think the Bucs are clearly the best team in the NFC. In my mind, I think they are this Super Bowl favorite to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC. I don't think they really needed Antonio Brown. I understand the argument of you can never have too much of a good thing, I suppose, and I guess that's what they're doing with Antonio, but I don't know that I'd want to upset the apple cart, upset the mojo, the karma, whatever you want to call it, that they have right now with a guy that has, you know, gotten discarded by 3 organizations and still has pending lawsuits and cases against them. I think it's a very, they will tell you it's a low risk maneuver because if it doesn't work out, they can just cut them.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, but you know, I think momentum and mojo, I think those are kind of real things. And I just wonder if he upsets the mojo down there in Tampa.
I think it's fair. We are, of course, talking to the great Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the lone undefeated team in the NFL. Big win for them on the road last weekend in Nashville against the Titans. Do you have questions about Pittsburgh, Ross, in terms of what they can be, where they can go, or are they as legitimate as their record would suggest?
I don't really have very many questions, no. I mean, the second week in a row, I've had them number one in my power rankings. I think they're the best team in the NFL. That doesn't mean they're going to win it. The AFC's rough. I mean, they'll probably lose to the Ravens on Sunday just because that's the way the NFL goes, right? I mean, they're not going to go 16-0, and losing on the road against a team like Baltimore would be a game that they would lose. So I don't think they're going to go undefeated, clearly, and I think they'll lose this week. But even if they do, I think they're the best team. I mean, I think their defense is the best or one of the 2 or 3 best. They run the ball very effectively. Roethlisberger's playing well. They've got a nice receiving core. The O-line has had a couple injuries, but they're still playing pretty darn good football. You know, with all the other teams, the Ravens, the Chiefs, whoever, the Titans, you can point out some issues. The Steelers don't really have issues. And that doesn't mean in January they'll necessarily beat Kansas City or whoever and go to the Super Bowl. But to me, I think they are the best team. I think they're the most well-rounded, complete team. And I would take them at a neutral site against any team in the NFL right now.
Titans' issue is that defense, isn't it, Ross? In terms of them, and if you're seeing where they stack up with the rest of those teams, it's that defense, especially on third down.
Correct. Yeah, that's a major problem for the Titans is their defense. The Ravens, it's actually their passing game. The Ravens aren't throwing it nearly as well as they did last year, and they're not even running it as well. I mean, they're still winning, but something's a little off with the Ravens offense. You mentioned the Titans defense. Chiefs defense, you can still run on them. So I think The Steelers are the one team where it's hard to find a weakness or a spot where you say, well, they're not doing this or they're not doing that.
Oh, right now you got four teams in the NFC West, all four of them projected to make the playoffs. Now, that's probably not how it's going to go down, but if you had to project one of them falling off or a couple of them, who's it going to be? Is it the Niners because of the injury? Well, the injuries, they've won two straight, even though I can't keep track of who's playing and who's not because of the injuries. The Cardinals have got wins over the Niners in that division, Seattle as well. How many teams out of that division going to end up in the playoffs?
Probably three, just because of the nature of them having to play against each other as much as they do.
And
but
who comes out?
Wouldn't that be wild, you know, with the added wild card this year?
Yep.
Wouldn't that be crazy if a whole division made it? I mean, there's not going to be anybody else out of the NFC East. NFC North might be the Bears. I guess, theoretically, the Lions could be in the mix. I don't really see it. NFC South is the one that could probably crash the party with the Saints, probably. I just don't think, because of the nature of having to play all the other teams in your division twice, that we'll see all four get in. But I think that they're all deserving, especially the way the Niners have played these last 2 weeks. They've been very impressive.
Yep.
And then, Ross, what's fair to expect from Tua this weekend as he makes his debut as a starter?
Man, I got to tell you, this is an interesting decision. It really is, because they had won a couple in a row.
Yep.
They're in the mix in the AFC East. Fitzpatrick was playing well. You know, I guess you can make the argument that, hey, let's do it while the team's playing well around him so he's not going into a bad situation. I think that's a compelling argument. The bye week's a compelling argument. But I don't know. You probably get, if he doesn't play well, you're going to have some frustrated guys. You know, like, they like winning. They like that they had won a couple in a row, that they were on a roll, and now you're going to take that away from them by bringing in this young kid. I don't think they would have done this unless they thought he was ready to play pretty well. Mm-hmm. I will just say it's kind of nerve-wracking if you're a Dolphins fan, because Justin Herbert's good and Joe Burrow's good, and it's not very often that three of them are good. You know, I guess, you know, Roethlisberger, Rivers, and Eli, all three of those guys were good, but it's not often that all three the guys, quarterbacks at the top, end up being the real deal.
And then last thing, Ross, before we let you go, Trevor Lawrence is sort of speaking to uncertainty about whether or not, you know, he would declare for the draft or stay in Clemson for another year. I think most people understand that this is just sort of planting the seeds for perhaps, you know, dissuading the Jets from drafting him. Should he do that? If you're Trevor Lawrence, would you be doing anything in your power to try to not be drafted by the New York Jets?
I wouldn't be saying that now, because I think they're going to get rid of the head coach. And let's see who the new head coach is. Let's see what they do with the GM. But no, I mean, if you look at, like, the GM and who he drafted this year, Mekhi Becton, I mean, they've drafted some good pieces. They've got a ton of draft picks the next couple of years. I think you just got to make sure that they have a new head coach, and they will.
Right. Ross, man, we appreciate the time, as always. Thanks, man.
All right, see you guys.
Yep, he is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I can tell you what Ross Tucker's doing tonight. That man going to be locked in a Thursday night football.
He don't give a damn about your disdain
for
Thursday night football.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.